So this year, which we call Daf Yomi Be'iyun, in which we try to focus on some aspect or some part of the sugyas that we're learning in Daf Yomi, is an analysis of the Gemara in the middle of this perek on Daf Chaf Amid Beis. This perek, Misha Meso, is really divided into two major themes. The first theme, which is at the beginning of the perek, we discussed yesterday at great length, and that was about an onen. And the onen is potur min ha-mitzvos, and we discussed whether that's a ptur, whether that's an isur, is it a din of tirda, is it a din of osek v'mitzvah, and how does it impact on the nosei ha-aron, the pallbearers who are involved in kfura. That was yesterday. Now we're moving on to the second major topic in Mishnah Meso, which ostensibly has nothing to do with the first. And that's the Mishnah here on Daf Chaf Amid Aleph, going on to Chaf Amid Beis. The Mishnah establishes that Noshim, although they're exempt from Kriyat Shema and Tefillin, nevertheless they're obligated in Tefillah. Now, in the cases of Kriyat Shema and Tefillin, the Gemara says clearly that we're talking about a Ptur of Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Groma, because in the case of Kriyat Shema, you can only recite Kriyat Shema during the day in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Bikumecha, and at night to fulfill the mitzvah of Bishalbecha. So it's a time-limited mitzvah. And in fact, there are certain times of the day where you can't fulfill, you cannot fulfill neither Kriyat Shema Shel Bishalbecha, according to one opinion at least, and certainly not Bikumecha. According to one opinion, Bikumecha means up till Anetzachama, not beyond. According to the other opinion, Shalosh Shalos Biyom. But beyond that, the Shalosh Shalos Kuliyamalot, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. So Kriyat Shema is definitely a time-bound mitzvah. Tefillin depends upon two opinions in the Gemara Menachos, whether Laila's Man Tefillin or Lav's Man Tefillin. And even if you hold Laila's Man Tefillin, it could be that Tefillin is still Zman Grum because there's no Tefillin on Shabbos, because it's on Os, and others say no, that Os does not make it into Zman Grum. That's just a Shabbos problem. It's not a Tefillin problem. Tefillin itself would be obligatory even on Shabbos. But that's as far as the easy part. Then we get to Tefillah. And the question is, why does the Mishnah establish that a woman is obligated in tefillah? Well, in fact, the question is not why does the Mishnah establish that a woman is obligated in tefillah, but the Gemara asks the exact opposite question, that it was so simple, it was understood, it was pshita, the Gemara says. And the reason why it's pshita is that tefillah is a mitzvah you can fulfill 24/7. It's not limited in time. There's no moment in the day or night that is excluded from tefillah. So what was the Havamina to say that a woman would be exempt from tefillah, from the mitzvah of tefillah? It's what you call upgrade. It goes without saying. So the Gemara says, Ma'u detema, I might think, hoel v'iska, I'm sorry, Ma'u detema hoel k'sivba, it's about 8 lines down from the top of the Omen on Chof Amid Beis. Hol uksiba erev avoka v'tzarayim. And this is a pasuk in Tanakh. Let me just read the pasuk to you. It says in Tehillim, David is talking about his redif of Avshalom b'no, and he says, erev avoka v'tzarayim asicha ve'ehema v'yishma koli. So David HaMelech singles out three parts of the day, three segments of the day for Asicha. Asicha means tefillah, and Hashem shomeat tefillasi. One is Erev, the other is Boker, and the third is Tzorayim. So therefore there's a Havamina that we have to daven at those three different time periods, those segments of the day, and that makes it into a Zman Groma situation.
Not at night.
Well, it says Erev. I think Erev means night in this context.
And that there are three separate chiyuvim?
There are three separate chiyuvim. There's a tefillas Erev, there's a tefillas Boker, there's a tefillas Tzorayim. And David Amel says, I daven all these three tefillas. I'm constantly involved in davening, whether it's Erev, Boker, or Tzorayim, and Hashem hearkens to my prayers. Therefore, I know that God will protect me from Avshalom. That's the thrust of what David is conveying here. But the Gemara thinks that in the light of David's description of tefillah as Erev Okav Tzarayim, it transforms tefillah into a mitzvah seishas man grama. And the nafka mita is that women are now exempt. Kamashmalon, the Mishnah tells me that women are obligated in tefillah. Now, what is the kamashmalon? Is the kamashmalon a total rejection of the havamina? Meaning, forget about Erev Okav Tzarayim, the mitzvah of tefillah is 24/7. And the Gemara doesn't really spell this out. So we're going to see soon in Mirtz Hashem that the Gemara is going to postulate that women are obligated in tefillah because of a principle called Rachmei Ninhu, which means that women no less than men need Rachmei Shamayim. Their need for tefillah, again, I'm just translating, translating Kipshuta, is not in any way does not fall short of the need for a male to daven. And we all need tefillah. And if we all need tefillah, then somehow tefillah rachmei ninu will completely undermine what we call zman groma. It can't be zman groma because rachmei ninu. Now, in our text of the Gemara, all we have is kamashmala. But if you take a look at Rashi, and Tosus also makes this point, Rashi has Hachi Garsinan Tfila Rachmei Ninu. If you take a look at Tosus, Tosus says B'Tfila, excuse me, Pshita, and the Gemara says it's not so Pshita because Kevin Dechsiv Erev Okav Tzarayim is Kivitz Aseh Shemayim Gromadami. It's kamashmalan de rachmei ninhu, that tefillah is rachmei ninhu. So we have both Rashi and Tosfos who have a girsa that tefillah is rachmei ninhu, and that's why a woman is obligated in tefillah. Later on, the Gemara is going to say that there's something called tefillas tashlumin, that if you miss a tefillah, you make it up in the onas smucha, and the reason for that is also because of rachmei ninhu. So what we want to study today is the Rambam and how the Rambam understood Rachmei Ninhu. So if you take a look on the page that you have, we're going to look at the Rambam in Perek Yud Milchus Tefillah. And the Rambam has a whole new application of this principle of Rachmei Ninhu. And we're going to see the source for the Rambam, not here on Daf Chaf Amid Beis, but on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph. The Rambam writes, Mishan istapek lo, imispalel im lo hispalel, eno chozer umispalel. The Rambam says that in a case of a suffek, you don't know if you davened or you didn't daven, then you do not daven. However, he can daven, ela im kein mispalel tefila zu al das shehi nidova. He can offer a voluntary tefillah. I was wondering last night, if somebody left out Yalav V'Yovo in Davin, he doesn't have to repeat Shmon Esrei on Rosh Chodesh. But could he Davin a tefillah Nedava? You know, he feels very badly. You know, I'm down. Why did I leave out Rosh Chodesh? You know, so give him the opportunity of Davining a tefillah Nedava, and hopefully in the tefillah Nedava, he won't forget Yalav V'Yovo. But I'm not sure. We'll see that the poskim are somewhat conservative or inhibited about feels the double. It's not so simple. But in any event, the Rambam says that if he has a suffix, he doesn't know if he davened or he doesn't daven, he's allowed to take this opportunity based on the suffix to daven a tefillas nedava. And the Rambam says that this is just one application of a universal rule. Shem rotzi yochid lispal kol hayom tefillas nedava yispalel. No, not, you know, lav dafka in this case of a suffer, he doesn't know if he davened, he didn't daven, so he should, you know, he would be encouraged and recommended to daven a tefillas nedava. As a general rule, stam, a person wants to daven a tefillas nedava, he can daven a tefillas nedava the whole day long. He's not in any way limited, and therefore this would be a great opportunity to seize the permissibility or the enterprise called Tefillas Nedava and use it for his own advantage, because now he might not have a tefillah during this period of time. Now we're going to have to address is what happens if he davened the Tefillas Nedava. Would that, for example, replace a Tefillas Chova? So let's say, for example, he finds out later on, oh, now I remember I did daven. You know, the older you get, the more these things happen frequently. So, oh, he bangs himself. He said, oh, I remember I was there, I was that minute, that minute, I did daven. In the meantime, he had davened a Tefillas Nedava. Now the question is, does he have to replace his Tefillas Chova with a Tefillas Tashlumin if he reminds himself in the next own? So that's a big question, whether Tefillas Nedava could actually replace a Tefillas Chova. Now let's take a look on Daf Chaf Aleph Omid Aleph and see if we can find this case.
What's the rationale? If you say it's Nedava, how can it satisfy a Chayv?
So the question is do we look at it as Tefillah? And that's a generic term, that's all inclusive. Whatever constitutes a Tefillah is enough for him to have fulfilled his obligation. Or does he need a Tefillas Chova, meaning the Tefillah itself essentially, in the very fiber of the Tefillah, has to be a Tefillas Chova? And a Tefillas Nedava is a totally different entity.
It's not like saying, I'm eating matzah, but I don't want to be Yotzei.
Right. Right, he really wants to be Yotze. The reason he's motivated to daven a Tefillas Nedava is because he's not sure if he davened or not. So where's the source for this Rambam? So let's read the Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph. And we're really getting closer to the Daf Yomi. Daf Yomi is up to what? Chaf Gimel, wherever they're up to. So it says here the following. Safek Hispalel, it's the last thin line on the Gemara. Sufik is pal, Sufik lo is palel. Eino chozer umis palel. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Valavai shi is palel odom kolayom kulo. Very interesting. The Gemara doesn't say explicitly in Rabbi Yochanan's frame of reference that if he has a suffix with his mispalel that he should be mispalel. Instead, Rabbi Yochanan is quoted here as making a generic statement that in general it's a good idea for a person and it's fine for a person to daven the entire day. The Rambam understood that's a reference to Tefillas Nedava. What does it mean? Valavai shispalel adam kol yom kulo, it's Nedava. So the Rambam understood that with the Gemara's final conclusion about Sofik Hispal, Sofik Lo Hispal, is that he should take advantage of the opportunity of a Tefillas Nedava.
Okay. Not as a Tnai, you think?
Meaning, the Rambam is looking for a situation in which Tefillas Nedava is recommended. It's not just, well, you're allowed to do it. Once we have this general concept that you're allowed to daven a Tefillas Nedava and you can repeat your tefillah over and over again many times, multiple times in a day because it's a Tefillas Nedava, then we can take Tefillas Nedava and utilize it in this particular scenario as a great way of avoiding the suffix, of getting out of the suffix situation. That's how the Rambam understood it.
Not as a dray saying, make it a condition. Since Rabbi Yochanan says you can make a Tefillas Nedava, so mainly you can say, if I'm a chuyev, then it's a chuyev. If not, not. Right. You're saying that just daven the Nedava and it'll satisfy the requirement without a tnai.
So for that, Sam, we're going to take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, I have here a footnote that says the following. Let me just read this to you. He says, L'das Rabbi Yochanan, Shomer Valavai, Shis Pal Odom, Kolayom, Rashoyu Latzer Lispal im Yirtze, Aval Eino Mechuyev Bedova. So then, according to one opinion, the Rishonim, in a case of Safek, he's not obligated to daven, because after all, the Gemara says, Eino Chozer Umispal, which means he's not Chayev to go ahead and daven. But he has a great option here of a Tefillas Nedava. Then he has a quote from the Ravid. and we'll see Rabbeinu Yonah in just a minute. The Ravid says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, since he has an option in general, if he wants to take advantage of Tefillas Nedava, he can do so. Then in the case where he's Mesupok, he's chayav to be mispalel. And that would indicate some sort of a tnai. Rabbeinu Yonah says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, im rotzo lispalel kol hayom, but he didn't say whether you're obligated or not obligated in the case of Suffolk. So that according to Rabbeinu Yonah, this issue about did Rabbi Yochanan, as the Ravid insisted, require a tefillah in the case of Suffolk, or did Rabbi Yochanan just give you an option of a tefillas nedava, as we saw in other Rishonim, like the Rashba, for example? So Rabbeinu Yonah says that, you know what, we really don't have any final conclusion, because originally the Gemara was quoting actually Rabbi Elazar, he was of the opinion that Eino Choser Umispalel. Then the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yochanan, Valavaishi Spal Adam Kolayom Kulo. So you might say that there's a machlokas here between Rabbi Elazar, who says Eino Choser Umispalel, Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yonah says that there's no machlokas, because Rabbi Elazar is talking about whether there's a chova to be mispalel, and the answer is he has no chova to be mispalel. Rabbi Yochanan says im rotza yachol lispalel, and the Ravid holds there's a machlokas here, because Rabbi Elazar holds eino chozer mispalel, and Rabbi Yochanan would hold chayav lachzor lispalel. So again, we don't know. There's no clarity in the sugya. This is a gigantic controversy amongst the Rishonim, whether Rabbi Yochanan is being quoted here as establishing a chiyuv to be mispalel at tefillas nedava, which is a very strange kind of concept. In essence, you're talking about a tefillas nedava. On the other hand, it's called a tefillas chova because he's obligated to daven. Again, depending upon how you understand the relationship between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan, if you assume they agree one with the other, then the Ravid is telling us that Rabbi Yochanan says that he's chayav to daven at tefillas nedava. Well, that's a pella, because if he's chayav to daven at tefillas nedava, the Ravid, based on Rabbi Yochanan, then Rabbi Yochanan clearly is rejecting Rabbi Elazar. So the only way of making peace and harmony between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yochanan is to differentiate between chova and reshus, which means that Rabbi Yochanan never went as far as to say that he's obligated in tefillas nedava. But according to the Ravid, he's obligated to daven this tefillah. You wonder, according to the Ravid, based on Rabbi Yochanan, in the case of Suffolk, what is he davening? Is he davening a tefillah nedava? The Ravid says he's obligated to daven that tefillah. So it's very hard to call that a tefillah nedava.
But this contrast, let's say, on the not the first day of Sukkot, right? If you're not sure that you didn't do the lulav, you don't have to. Even though there's no penalty, right? Nobody will say that you have to do the lulav again if you're mesupek, right?
Why? Because suffering
there about it? Yeah. Even though, because the way I learned this is that, you know, Biachana says, since you're allowed to daven, there's no harm, so you should. But he wouldn't say that for lulav. There's no harm shaking lulav. And yet there's no chiyuv to go shaking lulav.
Right. So hold on to your question until we get into it. Okay, so fine. So now we want to study this halacha of Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba, that according to them, again, leave out the Ravid for a moment, Eino chayav lachzor levarech, lachzor lispal. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan in the Maskaras HaSugi is not rejecting Rabbi Elazar, who says Eino chozer mispal, but rather it's a reshus lachzor lispalel.
The one hurt.
So yesh la'ayin b'zeh. Let's try to understand this. Sharei b'safek isur derabanan mevur b'beitza demudar v'sheish l'mati. In other words, in a case where you can wiggle your way out of an isur derabanan because you're not sure if it's us or not, So we're going to be machmir in an Issa Drabbanan. In other words, we're going to suspend the normal principle of Safik Drabbanan Lakula, and instead of relying on this heter called Safik Drabbanan Lakula, we're going to say you have to be machmir yourself. Get yourself out of the Safik. How do you get yourself out of the Safik? You wait another day or another couple of hours and you'll be out of the Safik because there's no Issa at all. Like, for example, Mukta. You have a Safik Mukta and fell into a Tarovas, so you're going to say it's a Dover Sheish Lamatirin, meaning wait till after Yontif and then there's no Issa Mukta. And even though you could say, well, why can't I move the Mukta when I don't know if it's Mukta at all in a case of Safik, why can't I apply the principle of Safik to Rabbanu Lakula? The answer is because you have a way out. And whenever you have a way out, the halach of Safik to Rabbanu Lakula is suspended because we don't want to rely on a heter, which is going to allow me to get out of a Safik when the Safik still exists. It's still an outstanding Safik.
That's an Isra situation.
Oh. That's only in an Easter situation. Oz yesh lahachmir afilu b'sveika d'rabbanan. Ken kam b'tfila. Should we apply the same logic to a mitzvah? Hoya min adin lomar ken shemi achas yesh lo eitza lotzeis misafek. In other words, why rely on Safik Lakula and say, well, I didn't daven because davening is only a chiv d'rabbanan, when he can get out of it, he can cover his bases by doing a tefillas nedav. Harimidina hayitzarch lias mechuyav lasos came, and that, by the way, could be the shitas arayvin that in this particular scenario he's obligated in a tefillas nedav. Again, I don't know what the kishkis, the chefs of the tefillah would be, whether it's a tefillas nedav or tefillas chova according to the arayvin. Maybe it's only a chiv gavra. The tefillah per se is a tefillas nedav. I don't know. But the logic here is to take the principle that we saw in Isurim of a Dover Sheish Lamatirin and apply it in the flip side to a mitzvah. And even though the mitzvah is Drabbanan, if you have a way of getting out of it, then you're obligated to avail yourself of that opportunity. He says, V'ayin baran l'perek arvei psochim. Okay, fine. Shekosav. Oh, diem lav milsa detircha vida. Okay, fine.
That'd be
so,
true by a
rule
of also then.
Right, so if you can get away with the Safik, meaning you can solve the Safik, then if it's not a tircha, then you're required to do so, even though it's a mitzvah derabbana. But dvarim tzarech iyun. So we're trying to understand, is there some difference between the Gemara in Beitza about Dover Sheish Lamatirin, where we're not going to rely on Safik Drabbanan Lakula, and our sugya here at Tefillah, where at least in the way the Rishonim, Rabbi Yonah, and the Rashba learn it, you're not obligated to resolve this problem. It's only an option, but Eino Chozer Mispal. As far as Chiyuv is concerned, you don't have to do so. Now let's go back once again to the Gemara on Daf Chaf Aleph that we started with. The Gemara says, Rabbi Lozer Omar, Sofek Kara Kriyachma, Sofek Lo Kara Kriyachma, Chozer Vekore Kriyachma. And here we're dealing with a Sofek Da'oraisa. Then the Gemara goes on to say the following. Just 1 second. Sofek Kara Kriyachma, Chozer Vekore. Rabbi Yehuda. So this is right in the middle of the page. Safek kara kriyat shma, safek lo kara kriyat shma, eino chozer vekore. And my time in the Gemara says because kriyat shma is durabbanan. Now once again, it's a little bit odd because if we apply the model of Isurim of Dover Sheish Lamatirin to mitzvahs, then even if I grant you that Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah derabbanan, and therefore something derabbanan lakula if he doesn't know if he recited Kriyat Shema, but what does he lose by reciting Kriyat Shema again? Why doesn't he avail himself of that?
He's not obligated, right?
Right, and the question is, again, assuming there's an equation between Isurim...
So he should be obligated.
He should be obligated. Maishna misfekos midine Isa v'heter. Why is it that in Isa v'heter we assume that he's not going to rely on a heter, even in Safik Drabbanan Lakula, because he has an Eitzakala, he has a way of simply circumventing the Issa. But when it comes to mitzvahs, we seem to be assuming that even if it's a mitzvah Drabbanan, which he could replace, or he could get his way out of the suffix. Nevertheless, we're going to apply the principle of what? Of suffix the Rabbanan Lekula. And he's not obligated to invest in this opportunity to circumvent the suffix. So the Rav here wants to say a chiddush. And he says the following. There's a difference between what's called a hachros ha-sofek and hafkos ha-sofek. Hachros ha-sofek means that the sofek remains a sofek. I don't know if you're violating this isur or not. I have no way of knowing. But the Torah says, the halacha says, if it's a sofek drabanon, you could be machriya l'kula. So hachra means that although you might be violating this isur, but we can rely on this hachra l'kula. So you don't know, for example, whether or not muktzah fell into this taroves. So if not for Dabar Sheish Lamatirin, we would say, you know what? Safik Drabana Lakula. I don't know. There could be that there's muktzah there, but we have this din, this principle, this rule, which is called Hakhra. So now the din of Dabar Sheish Lamatirin says, don't rely on Hakhra Safik when the Safik still is outstanding. It's really, it's active, it's alive and well. And instead, wait till tomorrow when you won't have any issue at all. There's no Issa Mukts after Yontif. Masha'enkin, in the case of a Chiyuv Mitzvah, there the halach of Safik Drabon Lekula is not a Hachras HaSafik, but rather it's Hafka. Hafka means it undermines the very Mitzvah. We're saying that the Rabbanan only formulated a Chiyuv in a case of Vaday, but not in the case of Safik. Let's read it inside. Achein b'safik mitzvah ein abir sherashayim anu lachriya l'kula, which means that the safik is still outstanding. It's still alive and active and well. Ella, but rather, what does safik drabanu l'kula mean in mitzvahs? B'makom safik leka chiyuv klal. The Rabbanu never obligated you. And that's called hafkas achiv, not achra, which in the case of Yisrael had to be achra l'kula. In the case of mitzvahs, it would be hachro liftar. No, it's not hachro liftar, lefatre, but rather it's hafkas chiyuv. It goes back to, you know, its root canal. You know, we're going to undermine the very root of the chiyuv, and the Torah and the Rabbanan, excuse me, never obligated you in a case of suffering. Now, if I had the right to add a footnote here, this is the footnote I would add. This is the Lechem Mishnah at the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim. What do I mean? The Ramban famously rejects the Rambam. The Rambam says that every Rabbanan comes on the Lo Sosa. So the Ramban asks, amongst a whole slew of barrage of questions against the Rambam, what about the principle of Safik Rabbanan Lekula? According to the Rambam, if every Rabbanan comes on the Lo Sosa. So the Lechem Mishnah says that B'makom Safik, the Rabbanan didn't generate the Isur. They didn't formulate the Isur or enact the Isur. What is the Lechem Mishnah trying to gain? The Ramban is assuming that in a case of Sofek, I don't know how to be Machriya the Sofek. And if it's the Rabbanu, which the Rambam classifies as the Doraisa, I have to apply the principle of Sofek Doraisa Lekula. Lechumra. Therefore, you've basically done away with Sofek Rabbanu Lekula, just as a non-entity. But the Lechem Mishnah is saying, no. What the Rabbanu did was, like, Heim Amru Beheim Amru, they said that we are only going to obligate you when you have a Vadai. We're not going to obligate you when you have a Sofek. So if this be the case, then we can justify our sugya here in Brachos Daf Chof Aleph, that in a case of a Safek, in a Drabanon, and now we're holding that Kriyat Shema is Drabanon, then we're not going to obligate you to find a method, avail yourself of a method which will remove the Safek. We're going to just say that you're potter. Why? Because there is no Chiyu.
And then even if you do it, you get nothing out of it.
Well, what you get is it feels the double.
But you will not satisfy the chiyuv.
Right. Now, what bothers me about the Rav's approach is that if that be the case, then the nedava remains totally disconnected to the tefillas chova. Do you follow what I'm saying? In other words, what we're saying here is that in the case of suffering, there is no chova. So why do you call it tefillas nedava? Or alternatively, maybe this is even a more far-reaching question. In the case of Kriyat Shema, so one second, the Gemara says in the case of Kriyat Shema, that's beautiful. Faket. Kriyat Shema works out very well according to this Sfar. That, you know, we're not going to tell them read Kriyat Shema because there is no Kri of Kriyat Shema in a case of suffering. But in Tefillah, we're going to recommend that he daven in Tefillas Nedava. That's a little bit of a pella, because if there's no Chova, then why are you davening in a Dava? I mean, the whole year round, every day you can daven in a Dava.
There's nothing special about this case.
Yeah. In fact, the Raivin, as we saw before, took it one step further. He's saying that in this case, you have a method of resolving. Okay, so the Raivin didn't accept this Shnickel Torah. The Raivin assumes an equation between Isurim and Mitzvahs. If in Isurim we're suspending Safek Lekula and Adrabbanim because Ad Shetochlen no, it's don't be machria suffix in a case where you can just simply avoid the suffix. So too in the case of mitzvahs, don't be machria lekula and you put for the mitzvah. Why rely on achra when you can solve the problem? And here we're going to say you're chayiv in the mitzvah.
Is the dichotomy applied as well to the Rambam's view that suffix deraisa is lekula deraisa? Is it achra there, or is it just that there is no one?
Right, we're saying that in Isurim, even in an Isur Derabbanon, which we're going to, even in an Isur Derabbanon, in other words, in an Isur Doraisa, which is a Safek, you could vacillate back and forth whether L'chumra is Doraisa Derabbanon, but
if you say L'chumra.
Right, in other words, in an Isur Doraisa, when you say L'chumra is a Doraisa or Derabbanon, it could be that the whole institution of Safek Doraisa L'chumra is only Derabbanon.
Right.
That would bring you to this point of an Issa Drabbanon. If you have a suffix in Issa Drabbanon, and then we say it's Achro, we don't rely on Achros when we could remove the suffix.
I was actually thinking the other way. When you say it's Midaraisa Lakula, what does that mean? Does it mean the third and the Machayev?
Right, so that's not for us today. I don't know if I can. Yeah. So now we're going to go to the Ramban. And I mentioned the Ramban earlier. The Ramban holds that, according to the Rambam, that every Derabbanan comes under the Lo Sosa. So the Ramban asks, and you'll flip your page to the other side, why is Safek Derabbanan Lekula if it's an Issa Doraisa? And then he asks, those mitzvahs that we're making on, he says, mitzvah shalahen hikilu. He says we find many different kulos. For example, he gives the example of our sugya here in Brachos of a Safek Kara Kriyat Shema, Eino Chozev Kore. Why? Because it's lav, because we're holding now, according to this man, the Rabbi Yehuda, that Kriyat Shema is lav d'oraisa. So then the Rambam is going to be very difficult. Why are you telling me that Kriyat Shema lav d'oraisa when it comes on the Lo Sosu? Tzarech Iyon L'chor L'fi Pshuto Hainu Hach. The kula halacha achasi shesafik drabon lekula ezesh te kusas nifrados yeshka. He wants to know why the Ramban bothered with two different kashas. One kasha is how can we understand and justify safik drabon lekula according to the Rambam, and the second kasha is what are you going to do with the Gemara of safik kara kriyat shma eino chozev v'kore? Why not apply the principle of safik lo sasu? Al pi anal nichad v'emes sofik isa drabbanan v'sofik mitzvah drabbanan chalukim heim zemi zebi yisoda kula shalahem. The reason why the Ramban has two kashas is because whereas the first kasha he's asking on isurim, and in the case of isurim, maybe you could say according to the Rambam that sofik drabbanan we should apply the principle of ein lachrias asofik in an isur, and therefore we should go l'chumra. So we need the special principle of sofik drabbanan l'kula to tell me that it's not osur at all. There's no isur at all in the case of safek. Now the Ramban asks, but what about safek mitzvah? And that, as in the case of kriyat shema, here it would be more logical to assume that it's a pure safek. And if it's a pure safek, we should apply the principle of safek doraisa l'chumra because of the Rambam shita lo sasur. Okay, now let's go back to the case of Safek Ispal, Safek Lo Ispal. And we said according to the Rishonim, the Rambam included, that he has the option of being Mispalel, a Tefillas Nedava. L'choret tzarech ibas, and ma'am arviach im ispal tfilis nidova, lo sof sofrei hichzit tfilis chova. In other words, the Rav Soloveitchik is now assuming that tfilis nidova and tfilis chova are two different entities. There's no general entity called a chefetz shel tfila, which would fulfill his obligation during that particular ona, but rather he needs a tfilas chova. Here he's davening it as a tfilas nidova. It's a different chefetz shel tfila. How could he therefore fulfill his obligation if he actually did not daven? And furthermore, he says, impaka legamre kol hachiyuv. If our explanation is that he was mafkir the chiyuv, then what does it mean that he has to, or he can, or he should, or he's allowed to avail himself of the option of a tefilas nedava? Well, what's he going to gain by a tefilas nedava if you've told me that there's no chiyuv at all? Right? It makes sense that tefilas nedava here is coming to fulfill his obligation of davening on the tzad that he didn't daven yet. But if it's not even a chiyuv, because we're saying that sofik d'rabbanan l'kula in mitzvahs is not a hachra, but rather it's hafka, so what's the point of a tefilas nedava? Hein emes, here's your tnai. Sharashba b'chidush of lebrachas mefarshim ispal al tnai. Shim yotzi decha vasa reizu tefila l'shem nedava. Im adayin lo yotza reizu tefila l'shem chova. That would be a perfect solution to our problem. Although again, I'm not sure why he needs this tefillah with a tnai. Why does he have to bother with it if he's not chayiv at all in a case of suffering? So maybe we're going to answer the following: that when did the Rabbanan say suffering the Rabbanan l'kula is mafkia the chiyuv? That's because there's no right. There's no way out. But if you have a way out with this brilliant tnai of the Rashba, then ein chinami, we're not going to apply the principle of hafka. We're going to say it's achra. And why rely on achra when you have a way out? That's the Shita Sarash. Bachena Ramlo Hiskir Tnai Zeklum. The Ram completely omits Tnai. The Ram just says, Yeshlo is Palal Das, She Tfilas Nedova. So then we're going to ask the two questions that we asked before. What is he going to gain by Tfilas Nedova? It's a different Chavtz Shal Tfil. It cannot replace his Chova. Not only that, furthermore, there's no Tfil, there's no Chova at all because we Mavkiya the Chova. Bless you. Okay, so now we're up to the breakthrough. And that's Vasher Nira. The betfila yeshnei chiyuvim chovas hatfila kvua and inyan shel bakoshas rachamim. So tfila kvua is what we call a tfilas chova, and it applies chakras during chakras, etc., etc. Now we have this generic concept called a chefza shel tfila, and that's based on rachmei ninhu. And the Gemara indeed uses Rachmei Ninu as a justification for the Mishnah's psak that a woman is obligated in tefillah. Why isn't tefillah a mitzvah sasheish hazman grome? After an era of avoka v'tzoraim, all those tefillos kvuos require a certain limited period of time and not beyond those period of time. So that makes it a classic mitzvah sasheish hazman grome. But the Gemara answers that there's something called Rachmei Ninu. And Rachmei Ninu now is a different kind of a tefillah. It's not a tefillah kvua. So for example, let's say you have a suffix, whether you're mispal or lo mispal, and instead you're going to offer up a tefillas nedava. That tefillas nedava is going to be a tefillah of rachmei ninhu, meaning it's not that you're going to be yotze yochiv of a tefillah kvua. In fact, I don't even know if you're obligated in tefillah kvua. But what you may not obligated in is this generic, all-inclusive tefillah, which is called rachmei ninhu, and that you can achieve through a tefillas nidava. So let's see now how Rav Soloveitchik answers his two kashas. First kasha is in Safek Hispalel, and now we ask, what is he going to gain by a tefillas nedava? There's no way the tefillas nedava could replace a tefillas chova. He says, "Afal pisha paka chovas hatfila." Even though we said that in a case of suffering the rabbanon in a chiyuv mitzvah, we're going to say that the rabbanon were mafkia the chova, and therefore he's potter. But that p'tur is only vis-a-vis tefillah kfua. So as far as that chakras is concerned, he doesn't know if he davened or not. He's not chayav in tefillah kfua because the suffix was mafkia the chiyuv in gansa. However, nevertheless, he still has what's called tefillas rachme minhu. I don't know. That's a good question. We'll see how the Rav presents it as we go along. But anyway, there's something called it filas rachamim. So let's say it is a chiyuv for the time being, very tenuously, right? That in every time period you have a double chiyuv. If you have a chiyuv of tefillah kavua, and you have a tefillah of what's called rachamim, the imis palil tefillas nedava, hare bavadai sheyesh kan tefillah shel rachamim. So he calls it a kiyum. I don't know if he means a kiyum of a chiyuv or just a kiyum. I suspect he means a kiyum of a chiyuv. Can somebody please close the door? Every time the door... Oh, I'm sorry. He says the following.
But he can't say something about
them. Sam, just give me a minute because, you know, if I don't have it clear myself. So he says, Aval enoch inami legabi chovas hatfila hakvua. Ain't kan eitzah, but that's okay. We don't need an eitzah. Why? Because there's no chiv at all. Again, you might ask, well, he forfeits the kiyum on the tzad that he didn't really daven kapish mayagalia. He doesn't get that kiyum of a chovetz tefilas kavua, but don't get nervous about that because he's not being mevatel a chiyuv because there is no chiyuv. So it's not what you call a bittul mitzvah. Even the Rabbanan, it's not a bittul asay. Why? Because the Rabbanan with mafkia in this case, in this scenario, the chiyu. It is a bittul in the sense that he didn't fulfill that mitzvah on the tzad that he didn't doubt. But what he does have is he has an eitzah, at least vis-a-vis the generic, what I call the generic tefillah, which is called rachmei ninhu, and that obligation, that he can certainly fulfill. So in such a case, we're not going to say safek derabbana lekula. V'nira de'im echad mispal ispal baboket filas nedava v'lo ispal adayin shachris v'ochel eino overal isa shelo tochel adam disa zetoli b'tfila b'toris rachme v'lo b'mashi yotzi dechovas ha'tfila kfur. Now again, how the Rav knows this, I have no clue. Maybe this is the Rav's own intuition, but he's suggesting that lo sochel al adam, which generates an isra achil before tefillah, that's before the tefillah of rachmei ninu. Because the Gemara says it's like gaiva, it's geus, you know, he's already eating, and he hasn't even asked to lo ispal al dimchem, he didn't pray to God for his life. So once he has a tefillah's rachmei ninu, which he can achieve through an edava, he's already been mispal al dimchem, right? He recites all those bakoshos that make up any shmona, so even a tefillah's chova. So even though he hasn't yet fulfilled his chiyuv tefillah, he's allowed to eat because he prayed a tefillah's nedava. Yes, Sam, go ahead. Now I'm ready for your questions. I'm not sure, I didn't say I could answer your question, but at least...
No.
At least I'm wrapping my head around the Rav's Kiddush over here.
Questionably, because if you...
The truth is, I'll tell you, Sam, after I read the Shtickle Torah, the last piece, I'm saying, not the first piece. The first piece, you know, that requires a lot of pilpul. You know, did the Rabbanan say in Sufik Mitzvah that they're going to be mafkir the chiyuv, or it's only akrasa Sufik as opposed to Isur? I mean, that requires a lot of, you know, heavy-duty lumdus. But if you'd ask me about this other piece of Torah that we saw here, starting with Asher Nira, I kick myself, if you pardon the phrase, in the, you know what, because I should have come up with this on my own. This is, if you ask me, this is so intuitively logical. Again, you know, I know, Sam, sometimes you have a little bit of a histaigut. I don't know how you say that in English. A little bit of a, you're a little bit inhibited about brisket Torah. I know, you know, we've had this discussion in the past. But this one, I think, you'd have to agree. I don't know if you call it brisket, you don't call it brisket, but it's intuitive. That you know, tefillah has certain regimens and certain restrictions and legal requirements. That's called the tefillah's chova kvua. You know, you can only daven here and there and so forth and so on. And then there's another concept of tefillah, which is like, you know, it flows from the heart, so to speak. It's just a laissez-faire kind of tefillah, which is not bound by any structure. And that's called a tefillah's rachmei ninhu. And again, I don't know if I would always identify nedava with rachmei ninhu, because nedava also has its own rules and regulations. We are very strict. But nevertheless, I can certainly accept that tefillah's rachmei ninhu. So maybe the point
like
of nedava...
It's an obligation, that sounds like, right?
Correct, and I'm convinced that the Rav is saying that tefillas rachman is obligation. For example, the Mishnah says explicitly that women are obligated in chova. excuse me,
yeah,
in tefillah.
Exactly, because of that.
And it's not some sort of a voluntary mitzvah on the part of women. And the Gemara gives the same answer, because tefillah rachmei ninu. So rachmei ninu and chova is not a stira. The point is that he can avail himself of this entity called a tefillah nedava in order to fulfill tefillah rachmei ninu. And that's the nature of a tefillah nedava. When we say tefillah nedava is a different chefzer from tefillah, from a tefillah chova. And therefore, we cannot replace a tefillah chova by fulfilling a tefillah nedava as a replacement. That's only as far as the tefillah kvua is concerned. That makes it into a chova. But if you're talking about a chova because man is a vulnerable being and he's totally dependent upon the divine compassion for the air that he breathes, then in that sense, nedava is a perfect fulfillment of tefillah rachmei. It cannot replace a tefillah kvua, and the reason for that is because it's not a tefillah kvua, it's a tefillah nedava, but nevertheless it certainly has the status of rachmei ninu, and that chiyuv he could fulfill.
And the rachmei also is obligated three times a day minimum, right? That's what the implication.
No, it's only once a day. How do I know it's only once a day?
So then the suffix palal is only then, what he's saying is only if it's the first fill of the day. Shabbos.
Right, it could be, you're asking a different question. When we say that la locha, we saw in the Rambam in Perek Yud that the Rambam says that if you have a suffix, then you have to daven a tefillas nedava. Well, again, I'm going a little far, but the Rambam for sure would say yes to daven a tefillas nedava. Then you're asking, would that tefillah nedava have to be within the same ono or not? It could be that tefillah nedava could be any time during the day.
Any of the three tefillahs, then, is it true? Or only for the first tefillah of the day?
No, I'm saying the following.
The rachmei obligation is shachris and mincha and maariv? Is that the implication?
Oh, I see what you're saying. In other words, why not?
For women.
No, for women it's once a day, for sure. Right? Because again, the whole point is that rachmei ninu undermines the concept of Zman Grom. But you're asking in this particular context, why not fulfill your tefillas rachmeinu with the next tefillah? Why do you have to daven now?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's interesting.
Or tomorrow?
I don't know the answer to the question. Maybe that could
once
be.
Once they mean something halachically?
Yeah, for sure. In the case of a woman, most of the poskim, I mean, minus the shagasari, they hold that all she has to do is daven once a day.
Where does that come from? Why once a day? Why not once a month?
Ah, that's an excellent question. I don't know the answer to that question. The Rambam says, he opens his opening line of Tefillah Chayvus Pal B'chol Yom. Why is Rachmininu on a daily basis? That's Sam's question. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here. We're going to learn a little Sanhedrin now. John, you here for Sanhedrin?
I'm here.
Okay, good. So let me just put this away, and maybe we'll finish this tomorrow. Believe me,
I didn't have time to eat breakfast this morning.